Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We're on Facebook and YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues and check that out. We're live video streaming the program as well. I'm Tim with Walker. I'm Tim Wildman, Walker Wildman, and Dr. Ray Pritchard. Ray joins us Tuesdays and Thursdays from Kansas City. And also now in studio with us is Steve Jordahl. Steve tag teams with Fred Jackson.
I do. We literally tag.
Y'all do?
Yeah. Tag. It doesn't count unless we tag.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
All right, folks. So thank you for listening to AFR. All right, what do you got first, Steve?
I got to tell you, blogger Matt Walsh, you probably heard me talk about him, Christian author and blogger, he's come up with a way to make Democrats pro-life. This is brilliant.
Okay.
He tweeted out, please stop killing undocumented infants who are trying to cross the border of the birth canal in hopes of a better life. Every undocumented infant deserves a chance at the American dream.
That's brilliant.
That's great.
Where did you get this?
Matt Walsh. It's
a Matt Walsh tweet. And he's actually serious. He wants to change the language that we start talking about the preborn as undocumented infants.
Yeah.
If Democrats can change language to affect an argument like that, why shouldn't we?
Post this, Brent, on our Facebook page so people can get it for themselves? Or you can go to his page, Matt Walsh, I guess, at Walsh. Good stuff right there.
Oh, he's... Yeah, it really, if you think
about
it.
Let me ask you this, Steve and Ray. Ray first, then Steve. We talked about the Democrat Party has become the party of death because they're so pro-abortion. As somebody said earlier, we've gone from safe, rare, and legal. That's the quote of Bill Clinton, you know, sort of ashamed, sort of embarrassed to be for pro-abortion, but that's the way he put it. But it's safe, rare, and he wants it. So he's not proud of it.
Right.
That's the... Now they're shamelessly.
Shout your abortion.
Yes. They light up the Freedom Tower in New York City. It does Governor Cuomo to celebrate abortion on demand up to 9 months. So they're proud of it. And this is when people say, how can Christians vote for only consider Republicans to vote for? And, Ray, it's not that Republicans are perfect, and they have, and not all Republicans are pro-life. The majority are, but not all of them are. But when a lot of us consider who to vote for, we can't vote for somebody or a party that is for the taking of innocent human life in the womb, babies. So that's like we can't even entertain the thought. Of voting for a person like that. So then we have to look somewhere else. And you look at, well, who are the Republican choices I have here? What are their stands on this issue? So a lot of Democrats look over here, say to us, well, you're one issue people. You know, you only vote one issue, that is pro-life. That's not true. I think we vote many issues, like most Americans. But everybody has a priority list, right, Ray?
Well, it's true. Everybody has a list, Tim, and it's hard to think of anything more basic, more fundamental,
right. Mm-hmm.
More foundational to any society than who lives and who dies, because that's what we're talking about here. A society that kills its own unborn is killing its own soul, is destroying itself, is destroying its own future. It's giving in to bloodlust. And here you have I was just thinking while you were talking, Tim, what is the... You know, who's the loneliest person in the world? It must be a pro-life Democrat. There was a time, was there not, maybe 20, 30 years ago, mm-hmm. when there was a strong minority, you could find pro-life Democrats.
Yeah.
Who is left in the Democrat Party who would dare to come out and say publicly, I'm pro-life?
No, they're purged. They were purged on purpose. Governor Casey from Pennsylvania, he was the prime example of that. Remember, he wanted to speak at the Democrat National Convention,
right?
Back in the 90s, I think it was, and he was denied even an opportunity to speak. And he was governor of the fifth largest state in the country, But because he was pro-life, yet a lifelong Democrat, they begin to systematically purge pro-lifers from the Democrat Party, at least at a national level. Yeah.
Are there any national Democrats left who are pro-life and actually vote that way? Unfortunately, I can't think of a single one. Mm-mm. I mean, you have some who play that game, well, I'm personally opposed, but mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. If you are personally opposed to abortion, but you vote in favor of it, mm-hmm. then you are on the side of death, not the side of life. Your private convictions don't really matter. So it is a, if people think we are overreacting, we just say, look at the landscape. The Democrats have been moving. Okay, Clinton had that safe, legal, and rare thing, and nobody took it too seriously, but at least they were trying to carve out that. They're not even making that excuse anymore. The fig leaves are gone, Steve. The Democrat Party is the party of death.
Yeah,
I don't see you can say it any other way.
It's interesting when you look at when they slip on this issue of life, when they let go of the value of life, it's a slippery slope. Now you have multiple states that are doing what they call death with dignity, but physician-assisted suicide. You have now people questioning how elderly people should be treated. Mm-hmm. The morality, once it goes, it doesn't stop sliding. And we're seeing a lot of effect of this culture of death in this country that it threatens to consume us. It does.
Mm-hmm. All right, you're listening. By the way, Todd Gilbert is the name of the gentleman from Virginia.
The delegate.
The Republican delegate who was questioning the pro-abortion.
Kathy Tran, yeah.
Delegate that we played an hour ago, where she says that her bill, which has not been passed in Virginia, by the way, which is just like the New York bill
mm-hmm.
that was passed, allows for abortion up until the baby's about to come out of, well, dilating. Is what Todd Gilbert asked her, and she said, this woman said yes, even until dilation. You're listening to Today's Issues, Next Story, Steve.
We have found one Democrat, we say, who's pro-life. Maybe this qualifies. We found a way to make Democrats care about babies, and this, you are going to hear, is Kamala Harris, the Democrat candidate for president of the United States, speaking at a town hall Monday night. Listen to what she has to say.
You can be in favor of the Second Amendment and also understand that there is no reason in a civil society that we have assault weapons around communities that can kill babies and police officers.
Assault weapons are killing babies. We can't have that.
What is she talking about?
She's talking about banning assault rifles, but...
Which are already banned, by the way.
Right.
Technically.
So what is she talking about, really?
Well, she's talking about semi-automatic rifles.
Right.
Which the Democrats on the left and the media have lumped in, for years, have lumped in the term assault rifles as to mean semi-automatic rifles such as AR-15s, etc., which are used at times in some of these shootings. But what she's talking about there, which is kind of like a false narrative, is she's blaming the semi-automatic rifles for killing cops...
And babies.
And babies.
It just strikes me as odd is that when it comes to gun control, all of a sudden they're they're against killing babies.
Yeah.
Strange.
Okay.
It's not resonating.
Yeah, I see
huh?
the irony just, there of her saying that. Do you think how far do you think Walker, the Democrat presidential candidates, are going to go with gun control?
Well, I think. To kind of get a glimpse at how far they're willing to go, I think you can compare it to the recent abortion comments that they've made, which is there's virtually no limit. There's no more.
Yeah,
well,
but she didn't say all guns. She said assault rifles. I'm just trying to push you a little bit.
Yeah.
She didn't say all guns.
Yeah. So all right. So we start with quote assault rifles, which are already outlawed. The vast majority of assault rifles are already outlawed. You have to go through strenuous FBI background checks. To get a assault rifle, which is a fully automatic or three-round burst rifle. So that's the first thing. If she's talking about assault rifles in the sense of semi-automatic rifles with large-capacity magazines, then what she's getting at there is she thinks it would be good if we just got rid of them because they're dangerous. Semi-automatic rifles are dangerous, so let's get rid of them. Well, what about semi-automatic pistols with the same amount of magazine capacity? Well, let's get rid of them too. So we go down to bolt actions and single round firearms. So we virtually wiped out over half of the guns in the country.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, Walker, but an AR-57, which they're all up in arms again, which is a semi-automatic
AR-15.
Rifle. AR-15, yeah. Which is a semi-automatic rifle, not an assault rifle by that definition.
Right.
It really is no different than a gun, any other 22 or 45 caliber gun. It just has the shape of a military rifle. It's just the plastic and wood around it looks like it, but
that's correct.
It's a distinction without a difference.
Exactly right. But to your question, Dad, is how far they'll go. I think they'll go as far as the public will let them go. I mean, we've even had Democrats say that we just need to do away with semi-automatic guns altogether. The only reason you should have a gun is for hunting.
Well, PETA will take those.
They'll say that the founding fathers only intended firearms for hunting purposes. Boy, is that a lie.
They say that?
Some will say that. Yeah, let's say the founding fathers did not intend for us to be toting around large capacity magazines for hobbies.
Okay.
You should only have a firearm for hunting, and that is the biggest lie. If you read the Constitution,
all right? I don't think the Constitution, Ray, cites a reason for firearms except for
well-regulated militia.
Well-regulated militia. It's right there in the Second Amendment, right? So the idea that guns should be used only for hunting is pretty much the opposite of what the Second Amendment says.
Or self-defense, too.
Sure.
I mean, you should have, you know.
Yeah, but if you read the writings of the founders who wrote the Constitution, they wrote on multiple occasions that the reason that citizens should have firearms is so that they could rebel against the federal government should the federal government overstep its authority. Yeah.
Look at Walker quoting the Federalist Papers.
He's also, his fingers...
pointing at the desk.
His finger's pointing at the desk, and his finger's punching the desk.
Like Ed yesterday, who's kept pounding the desk every time. Yeah. He's just pounding it harder and harder.
Well, we'll see. I don't think gun control is a winner for the Democrats for the reasons you've cited, Walker. I think the general American public do support people having the ability to defend themselves and have their own guns in their own house and for hunting and other purposes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a... You know, there's that 30% or so of Americans who subscribe to it's gun violence, mm-hmm. Ray, as if guns, you know, wake up in the morning, go out looking for people to kill.
Hear this every time there's another shooting, another atrocity, there's mass violence somewhere and people are killed, which is always horrible.
Right.
Horrible. But it's not the guns that are at the bottom of the problem here. It's that there are some bad people out there who've gotten their hands on the guns. And I don't know. I don't think there's any law available to us that would stop a crazy person or simply an evil person from committing mass murder, particularly if they're willing to die themselves in the process.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the whole problem behind the terrorist threat right now, is that it's possible to stop if someone's willing to sacrifice their life. There's very little that...
Yeah, you know, Chicago's noted now for their... violence on the streets every weekend. We read about, you know, dozens of people killed or whatever, and they cite, the liberal media always cite gun violence, and I want to say, well, are the people there not obeying the gun laws?
You know? They're the strongest gun laws in the country.
They are.
They are the strongest gun laws in the country, and you need to say, start obeying the gun laws, and the killing will stop, right, Ray?
If only that would happen. The problem in Chicago is not that the gun laws are weak. They're unbelievably, they're way beyond any other major city. But I don't know how, but the bad guys, there seems to be no shortage of guns and ammo when the bad guys want to cause trouble.
Right. You're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Steve.
You remember... Karen Pence went to work for Emmanuel Christian School, went back to teach art at this school in Virginia that she taught at before. And the left is just going crazy over this. How can she, because this school, the Christian school, abides by Christian standards when it comes to morality, specifically marriage and sexuality. Well, they have a sports team, as many high schools do, and they are in a league. And one of the teams that they regularly play is what is described as a progressive private school called Sheridan School. Sheridan School plays a home and away with Emmanuel Christian, and it was scheduled to play some basketball games with them. And they took note that Karen Pence was at this, what they call, anti-LGBT school. And so according to the headmaster at Sheridan School, Jessica Donovan, she says, "We initially planned to go to Emmanuel Christian School with the student-athletes wearing statements of support like rainbow socks or warm-up jerseys for LGBTQ people. But as we talked more, we understood that some students didn't feel safe entering a school that bans LGBTQ parents, students, forcing our children to choose between the environment in which they felt safe, unsafe, or staying at home. We kept them home." And so they invited Emmanuel Christian to play both of the games at their campus, where they were going to plaster the walls with pro-LGBT signs and kind of harass the students there. The school said no. So once the one game at the private school, the Sheridan School, is going to happen, but the game at Emmanuel is off because kids didn't feel safe.
Mm-hmm. So basically it was a home and home.
Yep.
And the other guy said, "We're not coming to your court, but you can come play us."
Yeah.
So politics, Ray, are now seeping into high school football. That's sad.
Basketball.
That's sad.
Well, again, this is here's what these people believe on this, on the left, on this. To try to understand how they think, and it's very difficult sometimes, but they think the Christian teaching that homosexuality is a sin, okay, which has been Christian teaching for 2,000 years. It's only until recently, which we've, you know, had these Shazam moments
right.
by basically the mainline Protestant denominations, who are dying, by the way. They'll be dead in 10 years. But they've come up with this new idea that homosexuality is not a sin. But these people believe, they're not even Christians, many of these people. So they would say, your belief, you Wildman, Pritchard, Jordahl, and Wildman's boy over there, your belief that homosexuality is a sin is therefore you believe that homosexuals are second class citizens, and we're not going to engage with you because you hold that view.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm
saying?
That's
a mean-spirited view.
That's a mean-spirited view. It's a bigoted view. And I don't care if it's your Christian teaching or what, but that's not American. It's not equality, and it's you see how where this comes from. So you can't even believe that is a sin according to the Bible. And if this keeps going, then one day, you know, 5, 10, 15 years from now, we're gonna be sitting here, if we're still allowed to be on the air, talking about, you know, churches that are being shut down or padlocked because they hold to that teaching. That I know that sounds, you know, really far out there in the future, if ever. But Ray, don't you think that's where this naturally leads?
Well, it is where it's leading, and they want to talk a lot about tolerance. But who's the intolerant one here? Mm-hmm. It's the people up there at the Sheridan School, which, by the way, it's a very rich private school there in D.C., $36,000 a year in annual tuition.
Wow.
And by the way,
Steve, I make in a month.
Me too. By the way, the game is today. Did you realize that?
No, is it?
The game is today. It looks like it's a late afternoon tip-off. And
the one at Sheridan?
This is Emmanuel Christian Warriors are playing the Sheridan Owls. The boys' basketball is this afternoon. And I go on record as saying, I hope Emmanuel Christian beats them by 50 points.
There you go.
Oh, me.
It's interesting to see them playing word games. You remember at the very top we talked about Matt Walsh wanting to call unborn children undocumented infants? Mm-hmm. Well, this is what the left does all the time, and they're doing it here. They say that the children don't feel safe. There's never been one incident ever of someone going onto a Christian school campus and being kicked or beat up, especially if you're with a team, because...
No, it doesn't happen.
And the problem here is, with the exception of a few media, conservative media outlets like One News Now, beyond that, nobody, they don't question the school. Nobody asks the principal or the superintendent of that private school who's claiming, you know, going to Emmanuel Christian School is just that it's going to be unsafe. Nobody ever asked them, what do you mean by that? Well, give me an example of feeling, quote, unsafe.
That
what they're saying is we might get if we have a gay student, he may be beat up on the. No, I'm serious. You're laughing, but that's what they're saying.
Happens all the time.
We have a gay player, and he might get beat up behind the stands, and so therefore we don't feel safe.
Right.
It's not true. You know, I'm sure there's sometimes LGBT people are beat up.
But straight people get beat up every day.
Every day, a lot more than LGBT gets beat up. Speaking of that, this we'll close on this. There's this story involving this actor. His name is Jesse Smollett. Okay, and he's an actor on a TV show called Empire.
Yep.
Right, Steve?
Yes, he is.
He's an African-American, openly homosexual man, and he claims he was attacked in Chicago a couple nights ago at 2 a.m. in the morning, whenever it was.
Mm-hmm. Monday, I think it was.
Said he was walking to Subway a few blocks from his apartment, I guess, in a Subway sandwich shop, and after he left, he got attacked by two men. And the two men were, I guess, waiting on him. He knows even though they were covered head to toe, he knows they were white. And he knows that they were carrying a liquid that they tossed at him, like a Clorox or something. And they were carrying a noose.
A noose.
Right. And they the second interview he did with police about this beating that he took, which, by the way, he didn't go to the hospital for 45 minutes and went back to his apartment. And whoever beat this guy up didn't want to beat him up bad because he barely, you know.
Well,
anyway,
he broke a rib.
Well, we'll see. But he says that as they were closing down their little slap down dust up, they said, "This is MAGA country."
Clearly, Chicago is.
Right.
Right. Right.
I don't know. Maybe there's a reason to suspect this guy's lying about this whole thing.
Well, the police have released now an image of two people that they say are people of interest, and I don't know if you've...
There's no video footage to support what this actor...
No, they've been looking for security cameras that are around or traffic cameras or whatever to see if they could find anything, but they do have... It's open and shut in my book. Two shadowy figures walking away.
Well, the police should be embarrassed for putting that out.
You know, more details are starting to come out as we talk about this, as the Chicago Police Department looks into this, but apparently the actor here, Smollett.
Yeah. Jesse Smollett.
He was only off camera. His entire trip to the
subway at 2 in the morning or whatever.
He was only off camera for 60 seconds. Every other move he made was recorded by video.
Right.
And they haven't found
another news story says he won't let the police see his phone.
Right.
Yeah.
Ray, did you see that?
Saw that.
So
whole thing just
what I'm saying is
strange.
If this is proven to be untrue, again, they're trying to say this black gay man was beat up by Donald Trump supporters at 2 a.m. in the morning in Chicago when it's 0 degrees. And they happen to be carrying some Clorox and a noose. And they just happened to be out at the same time he was. Well,
my money's on a bad gay date gone wrong.
We'll see what the story is, but not adding up. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.